four for now, and then we'll take another round. Marianne, Yan-Yan, and this will be our third and fourth.
Melanie.
That's it. That's just this man. That's it, then it seems. Please just introduce yourself before you shoot with the question.
Marianne Merton, Independent Newspapers. Just a quick one. You apologize for the inconvenience, but surely it is a little bit more than an inconvenience at this stage, particularly when we had the IMF reduce our growth prospects yet again, the second time in just a couple of months. And I wonder if you could perhaps talk around that. Thank you.
And then about for the Sunday Times. Minister, what does load curtailment mean? Secondly, as I understand it, we are running our power stations at full blast. Do we have any time to repair it? I mean, aren't we going to see even more of these break, well, what I think you call unplanned outages? Yeah? And thirdly, ma'am, why are we paying so much for the diesel that's required to keep these things running? I mean, my understanding is that we are paying up to 16 rand a litre. Why can't Eskom just buy it the normal way? Wouldn't we save a lot of money if you went that way? It's just such a big organisation with such well-qualified people. Can't they buy their own diesel?
Hello, Melanie Gosling, Cape Times. The solar water heater program, Eskom was going to hand that over to the Department of Energy, but I'm told by the industry that this didn't happen. Obviously, that's a big way of saving domestic usage, which I believe accounts for 40 to 60% of the domestic bill. If you could just say what's happened there. And then renewable energy, the industry says that Eskom's actually paying some renewable energy producers because they can't connect them to the grid. So there's power there waiting. What's happening to the grid, and will you, Minister, be pushing to increase the allocation of renewable energy? The industry says they can put in a lot more. And then finally, this Turkish company that generates power. Is Eskom the ships from the ships? Is Eskom planning to make use of them, enter into contract with them at all?
Start with Marianne. Surely it's more than just the inconvenience. I have said probably a year ago already, or when I first came in, for the next 2 years, we will have load shedding. The problem is that the fleet's aging. We have to load shed to balance the grid out. And the dilemma is that we must never go over to stage four. So it's 2 hours in a day if it's stage one and stage two that we have to go, that we ask our customers generally and the country to go offline. And then when we get to stage three, it's twice a day. Two and a half hours per day times two. So in essence, that is the nature of the, that's what is happening in the country at the moment. We are having load shedding because our plants are aging. We haven't had new generation. Medupi is taking longer than what it's supposed to. Kusile is taking long. So there isn't anything else that I can tell you here. I can apologize and I can thank people for understanding it. Explain the issue of load curtailment, Natsi, to Yan-Yan. Thanks, Minister. I think load containment is simply when now we ask the customers, normally we ask industry and big customers for 10%, and sometimes then we go to them and ask for more. So that's simply the load containment.
So it's what we do with big business. You have to ask you why we're paying so much for diesel. It's quite an operational matter, but it is a matter that I am seized with at the moment. It's one of the issues that I am that I once investigated when I spoke about the deep dive into the organization. That's one of the issues. The other issue, of course, is the cost of coal and coal supply to the country. And then the other issue is the liquidity of the company. So the issue of diesel, like it's a problem for you, it's a problem for me. I also wonder why you can't go and buy it yourself. But I mean, that's something we are looking at. And the solar water heater program is in its between stage. It's moved, DOE has asked us, Eskom rather, to move it over to them. I know that there have been RFPs in the public space, and that movement has happened already. There are a couple of issues that are technical issues, one of it being moving some staff members over to DOE. And that's a little bit more complex because I think we need all our hands on deck in Eskom. But yes, the solar water program will move over. It's in the process of moving over to DOE. And then, of course, the liquidity of Eskom itself. And we have to move it's just over R1 billion. My DG told me to tell you that. No, I can't repeat off comments. Wendell, you are young enough to know. The renewable energy, yes, that's true. Because we still have to build something like 3,000 kilometers of transmission lines within Eskom. So it is true. And I'm told that part of the reason for that is the fact that during the IPP process, the process for the renewable energy IPPs, some of the plants actually went where Eskom didn't have transmission lines. They built it in areas like that. So it's true, Eskom, but the contract was signed that there would be that Eskom would be an off-take taker on the project. So that is true, and I'm not sure for how much of it is true. But I know that at this stage, we, from the renewable energy IPPs, we are supposed to, it's about 2,740 megawatts, if my memory serves me. But we, at the moment, use about 1,000 megawatts from renewable energy IPPs. I'm not sure, the Turkish company from the ships, I only read that in the newspaper, actually. I've never heard about it before. It's also not really in my portfolio. It's actually in energy, because the sourcing of energy is actually within the Department of Energy. I look after Eskom and the other state-owned companies that as an implementer of policy decisions taken in the Department of Energy. I think I've answered all those questions. Ready. I think I still am a firm believer that we need a master plan that tells us what the end state should be, And I think the Department of Energy is working on that. And of course, we will feed into that as well. And of course, that also will answer the other question. And then what is the... what does it actually mean in terms of the end state of Eskom? So in essence, it will come as part of the master plan. It's now in the IRP, and those are the agreed upon allocations in some way.
Okay, second round. Yan Yan?
Even if I didn't answer some question. Which one?
Sorry,
I can't remember everything you asked.
I struggle, Minister, but it's the question on if we are running these at full blast, do we have any time to repair it? And I'm going to abuse the opportunity to also ask the one where I wrote terribly, so I can now see what it is. You know, when this morning I went down 6 flights of stairs, then I went up again because I forgot this thing. And then I went down again. And when I reached the door for the second time, I bumped into one of my neighbors. And she said, I don't understand why this happens, you know, this load shedding. So maybe you can share with us what Dr. Nguban told you. What exactly went wrong?
Well, as I said in the press release, that we have planned, and this also answers your first question, because the fleet is old, and many of the power stations are older than 50 years, and an economic life of a power station is probably 50 years. So the OCGTs are supposed to be used, that is Ankerlich and Khurekwa, they're supposed to be used only at peaking times. That's early in the morning when people are going to work and everybody's getting up and going to school, and 5 to 9. They're supposed to be using that time. Because the fleet has been run optimally, because they're not running, not all of them and not all the units within the power stations are running optimally. Some of them are actually down and have been down. Some of them have been mothballed. Some of them have, you know, there are a whole range of reasons for it. So other plants need to run higher. It's like a car that you've got to pump much higher. And that has been happening. During the Keep the Lights On 2010 went for the World Cup and so on. So it all came. That's all part of it. At the moment, there's a big pressure to keep the lights on. My own view is that you've got to balance the grid. So when they look in the control room at which plants, which units in which plants are actually problematic, or which units normal maintenance, whether it is the turbines or boilers that have to be replaced, if those are done, then that plant will work optimally. So they have to take some of the plants off. And I think in this last week, about 500 megawatts was taken off the grid to do maintenance. But then we lost unplanned outages, yes, where unplanned plants went off without us knowing that they were going to go off. So that's that's why we have to balance it. Because if we don't balance the grid, we're in great danger of a power outage, a blackout in the country. So constantly they're in the control room making sure that the grid is balanced so that we don't go over to a really dangerous part of what you can experience.
Okay, second round. Abalo and Carol, and then I'll take you and you. And then Lester.
Hi, Gibson.
Hi, Victoria.
Yes, we have a few questions this side.
Okay, we're coming to you now. Once
Minister has answered. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
No problem.
Hi, thanks, Minister. Babalo from Independent. This was, can you just elaborate on the diesel that you want in NASA that you want investigated? If you could just elaborate on that. Do you have a time frame perhaps? And ideally, what would you want the situation? No. What would you like the situation to be with regards to the diesel?
I don't know what's in it.
And in what minute?
In the diesel thing. Everybody says, this and that. So I'm just asking them to go and look at it, do a deep dive into it. 3 months.
And is stage 4 possibility, can you just allay our fears?
If you don't mind, I just want to take one at a time, because it actually, I can think better like that. Many of the journalists here are so young but don't remember that education. Or maybe not having an ear anymore. But let me tell you that one of the issues for me is that ESCOM procures from private sector in coal, diesel, and these are the renewable energy, IPPs, cogen, other IPPs, gas eventually. So a decision has been taken that we must move from diesel to gas. But in the process, and gas is procured by the Department of Energy. So in the process, we do spend enormous amounts of money on keeping the two plants, Khurikwa and Ankerlich, going. Because now we're not only using them in peaking periods, we actually use them almost 24/7. And that is why it costs so much money. So one of the issues is that I would just want to have a better sense of what it actually means. Now, there are lots of figures that are being thrown around about what it costs. Now, I've seen a costing given to me by ESCOM. None of it actually links up with what people are saying in the public space. So one of the issues that I want to deep dive for 3 months only, into the company that looks at diesel and stuff that I just told Yan Yan about it. And also, of course, look at the financial liquidity. So I'm not sure what I want out of it. I just want a factual information about what's happening in ESCOM. I think somebody wrote a story about the fact that the ESCOM's in the position it is in because of BE stuff. I don't think so. I mean, it's huge companies that run, that procure from ESCOM. So let's get all the information so that I can tell you all the information and that we all have an equal understanding of it. Stage 4. Well, I think balancing out the grid constantly, whether it is stage 1, stage 2, or stage 3, will help us not to get to stage 4. And that is why I have said this constantly. For the next 2 years, we will have load shedding. And in some respects, we are expecting the public and the economy to manage around that, those two and a half hours that you do not have electricity. Because that is actually what helps us to balance the grid.
Well, except for the one that has been asked already and not answered, which is what did go wrong, because we still don't know what went wrong. 9,500 megawatts in one day is absolutely massive. And if that is going to happen regularly, we are not going to make it through winter. So just some more information on what went wrong, because, you know, I guess we need to make an assessment. Is that going to happen next week and the week after, or is that actually what you're saying when you say there's going to be load shedding for 2 years? And then just what happens in winter, because Eskom takes, in summer, does those 5,000 megawatts of maintenance. So now what are they going to do in winter? Are they going to still do the 5,000, or are they going to suspend the maintenance? The liquidity question of Eskom, I've asked questions of so many people, and I haven't had a single answer. I've stopped myself from writing a story to say that Eskom, DPE, and the War Room do not know what Eskom's liquidity is, because I've had no answers. So if you could just actually just give a little bit more information on that. And then lastly, how do you feel, I mean, at the moment we've got a man who used to run the Telkom call center, he's now running Eskom. Do you feel confident that we've got the right leadership in place at Eskom?
A man who ran...
His previous job was to run the call center at Telkom, the Chamber Causer.
Okay, let me again say, it's operational that you're asking. If I had somebody from Eskom, I would ask Eskom to tell you which exact plants have gone offline. All I know is that Eskom has told me that 9,500 megawatts have gone offline. If I go operational, then it becomes, that's quite a big problem for me to be operational. So I think my suggestion is to ask Eskom which plants exactly. I think that's what you're asking. Secondly, the issue of Eskom's liquidity. It's no secret, and I think I've said this over and over, that 1 billion rand a month to diesel is no mean... In the middle of... When did they have the interim results? December. October, November. Eskom actually made a profit of 8 billion rand. And then, because they used that money for the payment of diesel, it quickly was no longer a profit. But they made a profit of 8 billion rand. The third issue is that when the board... So in terms of the liquidity of Eskom, I've also asked that the investigation covers that. Because, like you, I'm told that Eskom's in trouble, and I'm told, and then by the date when it's supposed to be in trouble, it actually survives that month. So I, and of course, I have gotten quite smacked for having called for an investigation, a deep dive into Eskom. So, I mean, the media must be clear what it is that you want me to do. Should I have a deep dive or not? I want a deep dive. I want to know what is sitting in Eskom. Eskom is an 80-year-old organization that employs 48,000 people. What do we have that sits in Eskom? Because Eskom is probably one of the third largest utilities of its kind in the world. So, I mean, you know, I think the issue for me is that, like you, I also want that information, and that's why I'm only giving them 3 months to get that information, because I'm sure within 3 months, at least, the one thing you can tell me is the liquidity nature, the nature of liquidity of Eskom. The second thing you can tell me is the maintenance. Are we sticking to the maintenance? My view is that we must stick to the maintenance, because we've deferred maintenance in the past, that we are where we are today. So, whether it's summer or winter, we're going to have maintenance. If we're taking off 5,000 megawatts, we're going to have to take off 5,000 megawatts. But, I mean, my own view is that they often defer maintenance, because it's not Eskom doing the maintenance. It's actually the private sector doing the maintenance. So,
they take off the maintenance, they go off the maintenance phone because they don't have enough money to pay for it. Now, all of those things must give us a lot more surety. Eskom is too big in our lives to not give us security and surety. And that's the point for me that's important in the next 3 to 3 months. What was the other question, Carol? Oh, the leadership of Eskom. Look, I'm going to be making an announcement quite soon. Who's the new chairman? Ben Ghabani. I have a 10-year-old in the house who does it all the time. Did you say I don't have to go to school this morning? Did I hear you say I don't have to go to school this morning? From where in the Matthew?
So the one question I wanted to ask was about the load curtailment and around the industry. We know that when phase 2 occurs, you're getting 2,000 megawatts, and phase 3 occurs 4,000 megawatts. And you say 10% of the industry players are being curtailed. It would just be nice to know what, in terms of megawatts, that actually comes to, so we know, you get these media updates, and you can actually see what's happening. You can see all the figures, but I never get that figure. I never understand that. And I've asked Eskom, but I don't get many answers from them on that particular question.
What's the word I
mean? And then the
business sensitivity.
Business sensitivity. Mm-hmm. So there's no way of ever finding out how many...
Yeah. Look, we're going to an agreement with private business.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair to them that we tell you. I mean, if we are able to tell you, then we would tell you. But I do think that the business sector has other codes. So if I am able to tell you that, I would have told you. But I think it's private companies. And unless they say it, it's fine if they say it. But I don't think I should be talking out of the house. I'm sorry about that.
Minister Craig Dodge from Independent Newspapers.
There are too many of you from Independent yet.
That's what our colleagues tell us.
Three already. Anybody else from any other newspaper who hasn't had a chance? No, I'm teasing you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a bit more about the inquiry that you've asked for. Has it begun, or has somebody been appointed to carry it out? And are they sticking to the original terms of reference, because there seem to have been some dispute within the board about what those should be. And one of the reasons that you cited for asking for that inquiry in the first place was the quality of information that you were receiving at the time. Has it improved in the meantime?
No. I still want that investigation. The previous set of terms of reference was only run by the former chair. And so they have established a new set of terms of reference, and I think the last time I heard they were making decisions. My only prerequisite for it was that it's independent, and that which means that you can't be doing work for Eskom and getting and so many companies do work for Eskom, so the search had to be quite far and wide. I really do want an independent assessment into Eskom on more or less those 5 things. The information it's not better, but at least I'm getting it.
Minister, Lester from the ANTA. How confident are you, or how do you think how serious Eskom is in backing power to 20 municipalities? And I've heard arguments from some quarters that Eskom should be load shedding in those municipalities that are not paying, instead of the municipalities who are paying their debts to the utility.
That's a few of them.
I think they're very serious. It's not something that, remember, look, this has been a headache for a long time. But I think what it does is it gives notice. Eskom has given notice that it will do this. And I'm hoping that that notice will actually put municipalities on notice, because they often say that government and parastatals all owe them money. But that they start, we start looking at the real balance sheet that we have. But Eskom's quite serious about switching off. It's about 4 billion rand, if not a little bit more.
Okay, before we take another round, we just need to go to Pretoria.
Minister Jan Lange from Wild and Rapport newspaper. Firstly, I'd like to know, if you analyze Eskom's maintenance reports, the weekly reports that they give us, it becomes clear that the maintenance since a year ago when they started the backlog maintenance, they're trying to catch up a little less than a year ago. There was initial success in a lowering the unplanned outages, but since late last year, they started increasing and increasing quite dramatically, which points to the fact that it doesn't seem that they're making progress with catching up the maintenance backlog. Does that worry you? Do you have any explanation for that? Secondly, you said we should ask Eskom what was the event that led to this loss of 9,500. I did tell you yesterday and this morning, I did to get an answer, and I inquired informally from sources within Eskom with very interesting answers. One of them was that by the end of by the beginning of this weekend, the last weekend, they've almost run out of diesel. And that the weather patterns over the last 2 weeks, some cold in some parts of the country combined with rain weather, led to an increase in demand that they didn't expect. Do you have any? Can you give us any indication of that? Did they give you any idea of some information to that effect? And thirdly, I just want to repeat, I haven't heard a response to the last question, but it's almost 3 weeks since you announced the deep dive. And as far as I know, no one has been appointed yet to do the deep dive, so it's going to take more than 3 months. Can you?
By a week or so. The issue that you've raised with me, why is it just this is going outside? Can you switch your mic off on that side, please? Yes, diesel was running quite low in the last couple of weeks. But the kind of detail that you're asking me for is actually a detail that you would like me to have from each and every one of the plants. I'm not able to do that. But I can say to you that it is worrying that if maintenance isn't, if they are not consistent with the maintenance. This is a problem that DPE has constantly, just in oversight over the maintenance plan. Because if you don't do the maintenance, you'll have unplanned outages, and that isn't good for us. So yes, it's a problem. And it's a problem that we are hoping to eradicate quite rapidly, actually. And part of the issue is also finances. Marcy, you want to add something on to what I said? Okay.
Victoria, any more questions?
Clarence Cream, Engineering News. Minister, on the beyond apologizing, what was done in December was setting up this war room. But we yet to get any insight into what that war room is actually doing. Now, there were a number of short-term levers, again, beyond apologizing, that could be pulled around demand response, demand management, demand side management, co-generation, not just the short-term co-generation, but tenders to get in additional co-generation. Can you just give us some insight into progress, what is happening in that war room and what progress is being made? I do have other questions, but I don't want to bombard you, so I'll come back. We can't hear.
saying that I'm sure you're going to come back, but I'm not going to be here all day. But then
I'll ask my other questions if I could then, just because it's within your control around the board leadership, the board stabilization issue. It's very much in your hands. Can you give us, you said you're going to make an announcement soon, but can you give us a very clear time frame and exactly what you're doing in terms of stabilizing the board? And then just a final very quick prognosis for winter. In the past, what we do is we see a stabilization, a lowering of maintenance almost to zero, planned maintenance, a stabilization of the fleet, and we don't usually have load shedding during winter in the past. What you're saying is there is going to be load shedding in the winter. Is that because of the unplanned losses, or is that because we are going to continue with maintenance during winter? Thanks.
Terence, just the last one. Both unplanned losses and continuing the maintenance. The board stabilization does sit with me, and at the moment, what I want to do in the next couple of weeks, and that I have to bring to Cabinet as well, is to strengthen the board. And that is to bring more people into the board. At the moment, I think there are 10 people. I have to bring a CA into the board. So that's something that's ongoing. The board is quite a new board. I mean, they've just been appointed in December. So, and they've had a bit of a baptism of fire. So, the War Room achievements today. Look, the War Room has actually, I think the greatest achievement that the War Room has made is probably to bring together all the departments that is affected by energy, the energy constraints. So, in essence, the first step was to stabilize ESCOM. And I think it's taking a bit of time, but we're getting there. And that issue was more linked to the liquidity matter. And so I see another 3 months of not knowing what sits in ESCOM's liquidity. But we also know that in the next couple of weeks, the 23 billion rand from the fiscus will be allocated to ESCOM. There are other areas that we've been able, on the financial side, that ESCOM, we need to look at the ESCOM loan from the World Bank. We need to look at the African Development Bank funding and so forth. And we've also seen the 4 billion from the German bank. So, in essence, the liquidity of ESCOM was the first issue in the War Room. And then there are about 4 other areas that's largely to do with short-term cogen. But with the short-term cogen, there's also RFPs being put out, or will be out soon, for longer-term cogen. And this has also been facilitated, although it's the Department of Energy, it's facilitated through the War Room. Then it's the issue of gas, diesel to gas, and that's a discussion that's taken place in a much more ardent and deep way. And then just an understanding of the kind of maintenance issues that you've had in the War Room. What are the other... And then there were 4 other issues. Cogen, gas to diesel, the demand side. I don't think we've done very well with the demand side, although there are areas within the demand side that we've probably been quite proactive on. And part of it is to do with the load curtailing. It has to do with trying to get the message out that speaks about curtailment within households and so forth. So, I mean, I was not prepared, actually, to speak on the war room, really. But, I mean, I think that those are some of the areas that you could be focused on.
Thank you, Terence. Thank you, Jan. Minister,
unfortunately... And the cold IPDs. Yeah.
Minister, unfortunately, needs to go to another engagement.
But did Wendell ask?
We'll allow Wendell, and then you, and then also John Will.
You
and we have one last more in Pretoria.
We'll let him conclude then.
Now you're going first.
Thanks, Minister. Minister, I just wanted to find out your sense about labour actually impacting the Nugent, and specifically at Medupi, where we understand NUMSA has basically not agreed to the terms and conditions of the reinstatement by ESCOM. How concerned are you that this over budget and very much delayed power session is going to be sort of further curtailed by union action?
Yeah. I'm very, very concerned about it because part of the delay in Medupi and Kusile, one of the issues has been the issue of the worker component and the number of days that workers have been on strike. I know from the leadership of ISCOM that they are working quite hard to ensure that there's peace, that there'll be peace at Medupi. Look, we also can't, remember, it's companies that are working, companies that just come to our source to. And so we don't have a direct, but I am very concerned about it. I was very pleased when I heard, read in the newspapers, that we've reached an agreement, and I'm hoping that, unless there's something else, I'm hoping that it's... If we can, Masim makes a good point here. She says, we've met with NEDLAC last week as well. And I've raised this issue in the NEDLAC processes, although NUMSA is not part of NEDLAC, really. But I think the issue is that there's no way that the state can, or ISCOM can do this on its own. I mean, we do need labor to... hear us a bit more.
Mark Cohen from Bloomberg News. Minister, in 2013, ESCOM raised the issue that they had the 225 billion rand shortfall in the cash flow. And they just found 34 billion rand of that. Have you got any sense of where the other 191 billion rand is going to be?
Sorry, just repeat yourself, please.
In 2013, ESCOM said it faced a 225 billion rand cash flow shortfall. It's since found 34 billion of rand of that. Have you been given any sense of where the remaining 191 billion rand is going to be coming from?
Where it will come from? Do you want to answer that?
Minister, I think the part of the including the liquidity issues as part of the inquiry is also to deal with the extent of the shortfall, because you are aware that there's been different figures, but the commitment that government had made came through the 23 billion, which the Minister of Finance has spoken about. But in addition, in terms of how we other measures that we are introducing is to look, we already started a process of looking at liquidating the non-core assets, because we think that would also help. But that process as well, we cannot preempt, because we have first, we need to identify the non-core assets. Some of them can come through from ESCOM, and other can come from other investment of government. So we hope that the inquiry would be able to give us at least a definite sense of the extent of the shortfall.
Donald Percy from Fund 24. Minister, I'm not sure if I've missed it, but we still don't seem to know who's in charge of the deep dive. Is there some reason that we can't have a name? And if there is such a reason, what sort of person is this person? Or these people? Secondly, Minister, you moved from Premier to Minister of Public Enterprises
Are you enjoying your job? Is this a poison chalice?
You see, Donald, you just have to press me a little bit. I mean, everything in the cat has come out of me, so don't push me. What was the? No, the I believe that last week when I asked them, the board, they were telling me that they had two companies that qualified, and that they were to make a decision on these two companies. So I'm just hoping, the minute they make the decisions, I'm sure we can tell you. Even though deep dive does seem a bit, sound a bit like cloaking dagger. But, I mean, it's not a cloaking dagger reason for it. It's really that until they make the decision. And I did, you know, I told you before, I just wanted to be independent. You know, that a company actually understands what the issues are, that they buy in the resource that they don't have. Because they understand the electricity industry. But they also have a fiduciary cap, they can audit, they can do legal stuff, all of that. That's really what I would like to see. And then my last question, no comment, formally.
Pretoria, your last question?
I can tell you it's no pleasure.
Thank you very much, Captain. The question has been already answered.
Thank you
then.
And Mr. Kimmy, did you have your hand up before?
I have one more question, Minister. I'd just like to know, as you said, there's plans for board stabilization. I just actually want to know, how many engineers are there currently on the Eskom board? Are there four?
You see, but it's an interesting question that you ask. And it's a question that I struggle with often. What do boards do? Boards are not, you know, they're not in the trenches chopping. I don't know what you do as an engineer, but they don't do the engineering things. But I want fiduciary responsibility. I don't particularly want people who are going to be running their businesses from the board. So I don't really want business people who see an opportunity and go for an opportunity. So I want the fiduciary responsibility. I want some of the technical knowledge. So, you know, if there's four engineers, that's great. But I also have somebody who works in banking, for example. We also have somebody who is a CA. Somebody who's been an accountant. I also have legal people on the board. But in essence, I want people who are not going to, they're not engineers, electrical engineers, well, they are electrical engineers as well, but they're not electrical engineers, because they don't have to put up an electric pole. They actually have to have oversight on to the program of putting up electric poles over a period. So it is really, that's really a, it's always a question that comes up, and people say, how many of this do you have? And you don't have so-and-so. And I always just throw back an answer and say, yeah, we're in this position today not because I became the minister 11 months ago. It's because of poor planning many, many years ago. It's because of no fiduciary responsibility many, many years ago, where really famous people were chairs of boards and so forth. Now I just want the real stuff that they are able to have fiduciary responsibility. I want somebody to say, you're making a loan of 300 million rand. Is that the best interest rate you can get? Why do you need a middleman to go and find your 300 million rand? Why don't you just go and get the 300 million rand? That's what I want. So, you know, I actually want some auntie from the Cape Flats who understand how to make 50 rand last a whole week. I want somebody who understands what they're doing. That's off the record, Maria.
Many thanks, colleagues, in Pretoria and Cape Town.
Thank you very much.